Welcome to Overtime Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in CSGO. Quicker than Blast remembers that not everyone can parlez-vous français. Please, it would mean a huge amount to us if you were able to rate and review at the end of the episode. It really means a lot. I am Logan Ramhap. This is AZS. Today we are coming at you live from Twitter Spaces, so if you didn't know that we do this like once a year, now you do, and you can come find us on the internet.
I like how you were so happy with your intro, you forgot the second part of the intro.
Yeah,
that was my personal favorite. You were like so, you were like smiling when you came up with the first bit of the intro, and you just completely forgot. Like, oh yeah, no, I have to tell people to rate and review us at the end of the episode, guys.
Yeah,
it's another way I can sneak that in now. Like, got it in twice.
I definitely remembered that bit, but no, I was so happy with that intro. So, okay, today we have a very quick agenda. It's actually it'll probably be long. I don't know. So there's not like a huge amount of like news that's happened in the last week. I mean, we could talk about Cirque officially leaving EG.
Yeah, and Hedrick officially joining NIP. But wait, nobody's here for official news.
But we talked all about this last week. That was the thing. We talked all about this last week. The only like new thing that happened was that Fnatic released their roster. And that
their academy roster.
Their academy roster.
Yeah, no, all that happened is Fnatic just got rid of all five of their players just after 6 months. No, that's not what happened.
No. And that Carry On actually replaced Norbert on Outsiders, which we talked about briefly last week. Yeah. But either way, we'll talk about especially the Outsiders thing more next week, when we talk about Blast, 99% sure they're Blast. What we wanted to do this week was we gave our crew a Google Form survey to fill out with their predictions for this coming year with a variety of questions. And then Elliot and I have looked at the questions, but we haven't answered any of them. So we're going to talk about what we think our answer to these questions are, and then I'll give some information on what the rest of the group thought. So we're going to get started. Okay. So our first quote-unquote award is going to be the best player of 2023.
Well, last week, I said and I stand by it. Monacy will be the number one player of 2023. I've thought about it some more and I've realized this really is the hill I want to die on.
This is the hill that Monacy will be the best player
in 2023. Monacy will be the best player in the world in 2023.
Give me a reason why.
Because he spent about 8 months now in Tier 1 Counter-Strike. It was about 11 months because his first event, I believe, was Katowice. So he's coming up to a year on G2, and the growth he's gone through in the past 3 months alone is a bigger leap than most players make in their entire career. He was a top tier AWPer who has become an elite tier AWPer in the last few months. Like, if you look at his numbers on LAN in the last few months, they're absurd. The kid he's a prodigy. Like, he is a maestro. Like 17 years old, like he's still absurdly young, and I think Counter-Strike players tend to peak pretty early. I mean, we've seen how good Zywoo was at 18, and I just think Monacy has made that leap now, and I think Cloud9 are inconsistent, Vitality are largely mediocre, generally Na'Vi have their issues. I can just see Monacy being the best player in the world and like Shiro not being able to replicate that. And Simple hasn't been the same player for the last few months. It's trending towards a Monacy is the best player in the world. So that's my answer to this question.
I'm going to choose a very simple answer here. I actually don't think it's going to be simple. This will fall into one of my predictions later down the line, but I think Zywoo will be the best player in the world because I think that Vitality will get help this year.
Really? What makes you think they'll get help this year?
I don't think it's player personnel help. I think it's more just, actually, I guess it's player personnel help. I was more going to say it's like mental anti-choke help, ability to, you know, give an ounce of support to the player who is deemed the chosen one of the best players ever in the world, a player who, even though this year his team did absolutely nothing of any consequence, still like had some of the best ratings in the world, right? If they give him like half an ounce of support, then Zaiwu could easily be the best player in the world, right? Simple is the best. Simple for this year was considered the best player in the world because he had help. He had Electronic, he had Bit, he had Perfecto. A team, one player is only as good as their team is wills them allows them to be good.
Wills them slash allows them.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
no, I see what you're saying. I just, my worry ever since the announcement of this Vitality lineup, even pre-Spinks, was always that they wouldn't have enough rifle firepower. Zaiwu is great, and he's almost enough firepower on his own. But Dupree at his peak is phenomenal, but he's not at his peak.
He's not at his peak.
Majinska at his peak is a really good like role player. He does the jobs Majinska does, he does fantastically. But he isn't a take-over-the-game star rifler in the same sense that other players are. Spinks has been given these lurking roles, and I don't think he's that good at them. And then Apex is Apex. You know what you're going to get from him, and it's about 8 frags a game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So some other answers that we received. Obviously, a good variety of simple. Reasoning that he could be the best player in the world. He's simple. Next player. I don't know if there's like a huge reason of need to explain simple here. He's been the best player in the world, what, 3 years in a row, even if he wasn't HLTV's number one, like one of those years. He's just been so good that you kind of think that he'll probably just do it again. There's not a huge reason not to think that.
Yeah.
Past that point, Zaiwu was put up. These are again crew member answers. Monazi was put up. And then two that we didn't mention, Shiro and Brokey, players who are obviously very good with the AWP.
Brokey is a wild take. Shiro is reasonable. I think Shiro is a very defensible take. Brokey is a wild take. Brokey has not been as good at the end of 2022 as he was at the start. If this was like May of last year when you asked this question and somebody said Brokey, I'd be like, bit avant-garde, but you probably jumped the fence a little bit, but he's been fucking brilliant. And then you look at it now and it's like, oh yeah, no, he hasn't had an opening pick since like May.
Brokey doesn't feel like he'd be ever put on a top 20 list in like the top 5 for like best players in the world. I feel like he's up there. Don't get me wrong. I just think that the things that he does, similar to Kerrigan, don't manifest themselves in that kind of thing. And so I would never think of them as the best player of 2023 of a year, right? The same way I would never think of Kerrigan as the best player of the year, even though he may be the most impactful player of the year. I would never put Kerrigan anywhere close to the best player of the year category. That's kind of my opinion on Brokey.
Do you know what Brokey is? If at the final of the Boston Major, the winds changed and Skadoodle got permanently stuck in his 2018 Boston Major form, that's Brokey.
I swear to God, I was thinking in my head, wow, Brokey's really just Skadoodle, but in 2022.
He's Skadoodle, but if Skadoodle actually just did it every event.
Yeah.
He's so reliable, but he doesn't get opening picks. Like, this is a real problem FaZe have, because okay, they are the best 3v5 team in the entire world, but imagine if they could just do that in 5v5.
Imagine if they could just, you know, have advantages and take advantages. Insane. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that when they won the major, Rain was the MVP. Imagine if just Rain was good more often. Imagine how good they'd be. Like, and it should be, most teams, when they're struggling, look to their AWPer for an opening pick. What FaZe do is, like, look for to get their AWPer in a 2v4 and hope he does something magic. And more often than not, he does. But that's not really the point. Like, it doesn't seem sustainable.
Yeah. Brokey's a weird put-up for this. But I respect the gamble.
Yeah, I respect taking a gamble. I'm not sure he's the gamble I'd go for. I'd be more tempted to go for, like, Axile or something if you're going to gamble. Like, Twist. Yeah.
Twist was on my list of thoughts to put up there. I think he's going to have a big year, but I don't think he'll be best player in the world.
No, exactly. Like, Twist has to finally put everything together all at the same time, and he's got the ability to be the best player in the world, but he never has been.
Yeah. Just so for any crew members that are listening, because I know there are at least two, I have your names here, but I'm not going to out you on what you picked.
Yeah. I have a feeling I know
Elliot
who said
and I
Brogy.
Both know who put Brogy.
Yeah, I have a good guess.
Okay. Best team of 2023.
I've been back and forth on this one a lot. Because best team is vague. Like, it could be like the team who's overperformed the most.
I would categorize
breakout
this as
team or the would, best team.
I would categorize this as the team in which at the end of the year you would be willing to say that at any point in the year that they were a strong contender for any given tournament and won many of them. I don't think that they need to be the best tournament every team. This could be like Liquid just pre-Grand Slam.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, Astralis was the number one team then, but Liquid who gets second place in every single tournament and is a perennial favorite,
so
that could be the best team.
I will say Heroic then. I don't think Heroic fluctuate as wildly or will fluctuate as wildly as some of the other big teams. As I just talked about FaZe, I don't see how they can just keep winning 3v5s every game. Like, surely they can't. Like, we saw at the Rio Major that they are fallible and they do fluctuate. Na'Vi, everyone knows how wildly they fluctuate between good and brilliant. I don't trust Vitality over a long period of time. Firepower issues, obviously that could completely change by the middle of the year.
Yeah.
But I don't see Heroic needing to make a massive change in the middle of the year. I don't see their system having to change too much. I don't see anyone buying their players and making them change. They're already the best team in the world. It's kind of the boring answer, but I think Heroic will be in the top four for the entire year.
For me, there's two or three teams that I'd be willing to put up there. One is Liquid, which is not a real answer. I just really wanted to say it and kind of manifest it into the world. But two and three are more realistic answers, right? Heroic, as you just explained, they make roster moves and they are still consistent.
Yeah.
Right. We may not agree with every single roster move they make. We may think that it brings them down overall. We may think it brings them up overall. But they are, if anything, they are consistent. They're the same goddamn team every single week, and it doesn't matter. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's nothing against the play.
It's very much a good thing when they're number one in the world.
Yeah, if you see Heroic, you know exactly what you're getting, right?
Consistency is impressive as long as the base level is good.
Yeah, and
Heroic is very good.
The other team that I want to throw in is Outsiders / VP, depending on who they're called at any given moment. Because we've said a million times on this, first of all, Jame has won a major now, and that I feel like that may unlock a new level. But even without that, Outsiders play a version of Counter-Strike that is completely anti everything everyone ever said.
Yeah.
And it is the biggest check for teams.
Yeah.
Because every other team will play, a mix of aggression and passive, and they'll mess with tempo throughout the entire thing, and they'll have default. James says fuck all that and does whatever he wants, and he's going to make you work for it. And it's the biggest skill check in all of Counter-Strike. And I think that Outsiders this year, winning a major proves that they can do it. I think that Carry On is probably a good addition to this team in the end of the day, and they'll have a little bit of time to get it together. I think that there's a real reason that Outsiders can be considered as the best team in the world.
I have two thoughts on this. One is that I think it might take a little while to integrate Carry On into the system. It took Fame and Norbert obviously a little time to get settled, and I think it might take them until April to be really good, which I think Heroic will just be good immediately. And secondly, I don't know how much you've ever played card games.
A lot.
Did you ever play Yu-Gi-Oh?
No. Play a lot of Magic the Gathering, but I've played Yu-Gi-Oh before.
They are basically just a control deck.
Yeah.
The example I was going to use was there's a deck called, I think it's called Jinzo Lockdown in Yu-Gi-Oh, which uses a really old card called Jinzo, which stops the opponent using trap cards. And then there's some other ones that basically stop them using spells, or you combine it with stuff that stops them special summoning. And you basically just force them to only summon level 4 monsters to the board, and then Jinzo just kills them because he's bigger. His big stat sticker that stops you using trap cards. And that's basically how, like, outsiders play the game. They just stop you doing anything and then just overpower you on the one thing you can do, which is turtle up on the site with 10 seconds to go, and then they just execute on you because somehow they've still got all their utility. I hate them, but I love them all at the same time.
So other answers you received, we'll talk about these. FaZe was like more than half of our crew.
Yeah.
Totally reasonable answer. I think FaZe fluctuates too much.
They might just be the best team in the world still.
I could also see
Carrigan retiring halfway through the year though.
I think he was asked that question in like a FaZe update video or something like a couple days ago. I didn't actually watch the thing. I think he was asked it, and I think I would have seen if he said he was retiring, so I'd assume he's not.
Yeah.
But like FaZe always, I think a team like FaZe that is just always going to out-firepower you will always be in contention, right? Because there'll be a day when Rops, Twist, Brokey, and Rain are just on one, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's just...
I'm not sure they are the most like firepower team in the world. I think Na'Vi are more firepower.
I'm not saying that they're the most firepower, but any team like that, right, including Na'Vi, if there's a day in which five of their members are on, there's nothing you can do about it. So there's got to be a consideration for that. G2 was put up. I think
G2 take.
My G2 argument, like,
against... I
considered
saying G2 because... because I think Monacy will be the best player in the world by the end of 2023. So,
yeah.
So, by proxy, I do also think G2 will be good in 2023.
Yeah, but, like, on the other hand, it's G2, and
just won an event. They won, like, a real trophy. They won a trophy. They haven't done that for 3.5 years. The curse is broken.
I understand, but my G2 issues are kind of the same as NIP, which is their fluctuations are all over the place.
No,
right?
Of course they are. But I think Hooksie is a very good in-game leader. He's a terrible player. I'm sure he'd say that himself. If he hears this and he's like, oh, that's unfair, but fine, let's talk about it. He's not a very good player, but he is a very good in-game leader. And the way G2 went, they flicked a switch after the major and just turned into, like, this monster. They were a lot more organized, and an organized G2 has, you know, we were just talking about who the most firepower in the world is. It might be G2. JKS is their fourth best player. Do you know how absurd that is?
Honestly, I forgot JKS was on that team.
He's their fourth best player.
Yeah,
that's absolutely absurd. If G2 turn up, they can beat anybody, because it doesn't matter that Hooksie can't frag anyone, because JKS is their fourth best player. They have so much talent.
But that means that they have to, like, show up.
Yes. But if they do, they'll be amazing. I think it's a reasonable gamble to pick G2.
I think it's a reasonable gamble, too. I think it is strongly a gamble. And the last team who I would never have put best team in the world, I think there's a case for top 5. Mouse
would be good. Oh, that must have been Naps. Yeah,
I'd assume it's a resident Mouse Sports fan, Naps.
I think he believes that.
I think there's a non-zero chance of top 5.
They'll be top 5 at some point, but I don't think they'll be consistent enough. I think for Mouse to get to that level, they probably do need to replace Torzy, but that's a conversation for another day.
All right. I have two questions in a row. One is going to be the team that won the first major of 2023, the team that won the second major of 2023. We'll start with the first major of 2023.
Heroic.
So, Heroic.
Okay. Win the first major of 2023. Heroic. They're going to come in like, fuck it. They're going to come in on fire at the start of this year. Everyone else is making changes. They've stayed the same. They were the best team in the world before the break. More or less. They'll be the best team in the world straight afterwards.
I also agree Heroic, but for argumentative sake, I'm gonna throw a different team out there, a team that we haven't mentioned yet, Furia.
Nah, Furia can't win a major. It's not happening. If they didn't win it in Rio, they're not gonna win it in Paris. Come on.
I think that Furia feels like 2016 Astralis to me, where they're like right at the doorstep and they got to get a little bit of a push, right? And I don't know if that's changing some stuff internally. I don't know if that's switching out one player. I don't know what it is, but Caserato and Yuri are just too good of players.
I forgot how good Caserato was at the end of 2022.
Right, that's the thing. Is like Caserato in my head is just too good to like not put Furia in this conversation for the first major. And I say first major because first major will be like when is Blast? When it's like March or April or something like that. Like it's soonish. It's not like stupidly far away, but because it's kind of soon, that means that I'm putting more emphasis on a team that's been together a little while and a team that's going to hit right out of the gate. So Heroic and Furia for me.
Caserato at the end of 2022 was the best rifler in the world.
Yes.
If he continues that form, he will be top five in the world. But like in HO2B's top 20.
Yeah.
But Art is so volatile.
Yeah. They have to
live and die by Art, and he is up and down like Katie Price's tits on a pogo stick.
I truly think that they need to have some sort of come to Jesus moment where they either figure out how they're going to survive with Art and the volatility, and I think that's probably the way, or that Art goes.
Which would be a real shame.
Oh no, it would be the worst.
I hope he goes somewhere fun and does something cool.
Not like tier 3 Brazil.
Yeah, like I don't want him to go to paint.
Actually, I do minus want him to Nitro go to paint. Plus Art create the most aggressive team in the world.
Now we're talking. Art and Yekindar on the same team. Now we're talking.
All right. So other teams that were put up, and we're not going to talk about these because we've talked about them a good chunk already, is FaZe and G2. I think FaZe argument is they have four players in the top 20 of this year. Assuming that the rest of the top 20 works out, let's be very clear here. Assuming the rest of the top 20 works out as we expect, they have four players in the top 20. They have one of the highest firepowers of a team, and they're, again, minute by minute difference, right? If they look good at the major, they could win the major. G2, the other team, they're same reason as FaZe.
G2 definitely could win the first major. But to segue into this next question, which is the second major 2023, I think G2 will win the second major. I really think G2 by the second half of the year will have figured everything out, and Monacy will just be a god.
Now, for notes, we don't know where the second major of 2023 is. Obviously, the fact that the first major is in France.
I've heard a
rumor,
but I'm not sure I'm allowed to say it.
I've also heard a rumor, but I'm not. You and I, we'll talk about rumors later.
It's a perfect world major, supposedly, so it should be in...
Yeah.
Presumably it's in Asia.
Yeah. So second major of the year is a little bit different to think about, because we don't... Right, it's January. The second major will be in November. This is predicting far ahead. I think that there's... I think Mouse is a non-zero possibility, depending on how things work out.
It's close to zero as a non-zero possibility can be.
I think Mouse could be up there. I think Cloud9 is a possibility, depending on how the minus inters move works.
Cloud9's a definite possibility. Well, I feel like we've not really talked about them, but they could easily have been an answer for any of these questions.
Cloud9 is like the problem is it's like G2, FaZe, Heroic, Outsiders, Furia maybe, and then it's Cloud9 right behind all of them. And that's not me, like, not including Na'Vi or anything. That's not an actual ranking. It's just...
No.
In my head, it's
very, very close, and there is a world they just... Something clicks, and they're just the best team in the world.
Yeah. I think that Cloud9 is a possibility. I think that the problem with Cloud9 in the second half of the year is going to be if it doesn't work out in the first half of the year with the Buster move, I think we're going to have problems in the second half of the year when that team doesn't know what it's doing.
Yeah.
Because that core's been together so long that you start to think of, okay, do we break up the core? Who's actually the problem? I think we start to get into weird issues there. I think if it's something clicks, they could easily win the second major. If it doesn't click, though, that team's going to be a North American team in 3 seconds, right?
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
I don't have a great answer here. I mean, my stable pick right now is Outsiders. Like, skill check.
Yeah.
Other answers, G2, FaZe, Cloud9 was answered by one of our crew, and Na'Vi was answered. Not that Na'Vi is a huge surprise.
We've kind of danced around talking about Na'Vi, but they definitely could just be the best team in the world again. Like, it's not entirely entirely impossible.
All right. Which team will make the biggest roster move of, I wrote the season, but of the year?
I think the safest answer is Team Liquid. Because Team Liquid are going to need, eventually they're going to need to replace OC.
Unless something clicks.
They have lots of money. They're paying Yekinda a bag. They have money. They have ambition. They need an upgrade.
Just if you were unaware of how much money Team Liquid has, as like a quick side note, this offseason in League of Legends, Faker was a free agent and had to resign, and he was going to resign with Team One, and Steve apparently gave Faker a literal, like, a actually blank. Said, tell me how much money you want, and we'll pay it.
Yeah.
And that's not a joke from that org. That org has plenty of money to be able to pay a player whatever they want, including someone like Faker. So
if Shiro does get tired of Nafani, or if Zywu gets tired of Vitality, Liquid will offer them a lot of money. And if those sort of players go onto the market, Liquid are one of the only teams I can see who would make them a reasonable offer.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I will say they will make the biggest move. I don't know what it'll be, but they're going to sign some mental offer.
At the very least, they will make the biggest offer. Now, there's another bit to this, which is we know that Rops was offered by Team Liquid and took a salary cut.
He took a lower
offer to go with FaZe because he believed in the FaZe project more.
Turned out to be very fair.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would slight him for that, but it is a point to be made for that. I think that every team's going to make a roster move. I think one of the safe answers to say is that G2, and it may be like kicking Nico.
Yeah.
I don't see them
kicking Nico or Hunter. Those two have to stick together.
They're
like Hedy and Lucas, but good.
Well, that's the thing is I can see that them doing kicking both, that them going, hey, this project's been there for 3 years or 2 years or whatever.
They signed a massive contract like recently though.
Yeah, but their good friend Carlos isn't in charge anymore either. Like,
yeah, but Carlos gave them a massive contract before he left. The payoff would be insane if they got rid of them.
I'm not saying either way, but I'm saying if we're looking at big roster moves, what's bigger than the Kovacs moving away from G2?
So I don't know. But I just don't see that happening.
All right, more realistically, other teams, Vitality, this move would be minus the Danes would be a big Vitality move. Heroic,
I could just see them trying somebody really good.
I'm pretty sure Dickel wrote this, and I'm not gonna state it because it's stupid.
What was it?
I need to know. Will remove Shush and get AZ.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I'm down for that.
FaZe and Na'Vi. Here's the thing with FaZe and Na'Vi on the biggest roster move. I don't think either of them will do it.
I can see Na'Vi doing it. They still have an academy player.
Yeah, but that's the thing is I think that all of the Na'Vi moves will be promote from academy. If Hedrick turns out to be good, if Nipple turns out to be good, right, you've got a little gold mine there that's basically the same kind of gold mine as Gambit Youngsters.
I guess.
If you can continuously produce good prospects, why the hell would you ever go anywhere else? Because you'll sign them to a cheaper deal than importing someone.
Yeah. And I guess the thing with Na'Vi is they don't want to sign any Russians. They only want to sign Ukrainians, so kind of limits the pool.
And it has to pass the simple test. Anyone signs has to pass the simple test. Because simple is not leaving Na'Vi. That would be okay. That would be the biggest roster move.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But if he gets pissed off and leaves, he's definitely going to Liquid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100% he's going to Liquid. He'll have him back instantly.
He'll be on Liquid before he even says I want to leave. He'll be signed for Liquid.
Yeah. There won't be a rumor because he'll reach out to Steve and go, "I'm signing with you." Yeah. And Steve will go, "I'll figure it out."
You know when Device signed for NIP and there was no rumors, just one morning he just signed for them. That's what it'll be. It'll just be like, there'd be like a vague rumor. Oh, Simple's a bit annoyed at Na'Vi, and then the day after he'll have signed for Liquid. And you're like, what?
All right. Predict the roster move Predict the roster move that everyone will get up in arms about, even though it was the right decision.
So I have a few answers for this. Minus Torzy. I think people will be upset, but I think that's how Mouse gets to the next level. Minus Safe from Furia.
Okay.
I don't know who they would get. NQZ has just moved. He would have been the obvious answer. But I feel like they will minus Safe at some point, and everyone will be upset because he is really good, but it might turn out to be a good decision. And then I had a third and I can't remember what it was. No idea. And it's gone.
I'm going to refer to my prior answer as minus Kovacs.
That's bold. I was going to say minus Blame F.
Nah, no one will get upset. Actually, everyone will get upset about that, but you and I won't because resident Blame F haters.
Get rid of Blame F and bring Xiphon back or something.
God. Other answers, which all are totally viable. Vitality minus one of the Danes. And then it was specified another one would be minus Magisk.
Wow, I would have said minus Dupree made would be more logical.
Well, a different person stated minus Magisk.
I had a discussion with somebody the other day. All right, and he was like, oh, Vitality need to get rid of, I think it was Dupree, and add an aggressive star player. And I thought for about 30 seconds and I've got it. Do you know who Vitality need? Xantares. Xantares fixes Vitality.
But only if he's allowed to play from 100 pings worth of miles away.
As long as you just give him the keys to the machine and let him drive it into a wall repeatedly. Xantares is so good. I love him so much.
All right, other moves. Cloud9, kick Nafani and instantly improve.
Yep.
Mouse plus Suhi, which is an interesting...
I don't even think that would... I think people would be on board for that.
Yeah, Liquid minus OC, which I think everyone's coming around to.
Yep.
I think NA fans are at the point of saying publicly, no, that's not going to happen, but saying in the same voice that you go, that's absolutely going to happen, and I'm upset about it, but whatever. And then the last one on the list is minus Rain from FaZe.
Again, I think people will be on board for that. I think that's the opposite. I think that's one where...
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's
one
that...
...be on board for, but might not actually work.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because I think the way FaZe play, it kind of doesn't matter who's in that position. We'll
All right, this is our interesting one. Rising Star in 2023, and then I put specifically in parentheses, I swear to fucking God if you put Hedtrick here. Which someone did.
Yeah, obviously.
But I'm just upset at that.
That's the Streisand effect.
Every single pro player put Hedtrick on their HLTV.
Yeah,
so I want to hear
boring,
non-Hedtrick ones.
Yeah, I really struggled with this. I mean, I wanted to say Malbs, but it is becoming, you know, here we are showing.
I don't know if he's rising anymore. I feel like it's been a slow kind of plateau, not in a bad way, but just like...
Yeah. It's the same with Zello at Sprout. Like, you look at him, he looks like he's really good, but he's now on Sprout, so everyone... Yeah. I'm going to say Skulls on Pain. I think he will be on one of the... He will be on Furia or... Like, he could easily go to somebody like Liquid. He's fucking ridiculous. He's really good.
I'm going to give... It's not really a cop-out answer, but I'm going to give an answer that reflects the fact that I'm American. I'm putting George Snorts.
Oh, he's good. George Snorts is good.
Yeah,
he's good.
I really like George Snorts, and I think that I think that he will be really good. I don't know if he will be top of tier one good, but I think he'll be really, really good, and that he'll bring, that he will help at least bring some sort of small amount of prestige back to EG. We have further EG questions.
I'd like to say Sin as well.
Sin's not a bad...
Because I think Favon, I don't know if he's ever going to come back. Nobody seems to know. So Sin will have a year where he'll probably play a lot, and he looks really good. So I'd say Sin as well.
So other answers, Carrion? Chiron. Chiron, which... Yeah. He's on a Jame team. I expect him to be an okay-ish player.
He's good.
Regali from Fnatic Academy formerly.
Yeah, he's on... I don't remember. He's on a team. He speaks English and Danish, so he's pretty useful. He can go to nearly any team.
Hedtrick, which we... I could have... We could have done an entire episode about Hedtrick on NIP. Nipple, again... See prior answer. Exertion.
Exertion's fair in that, like, he is still very green, but he will be really good. His crosshair placement is amazing.
Stare from Sprout.
Yeah, he's fucking brilliant.
And I don't know who put this answer. I need to figure this out because they need to get slapped or something. It was Simba. Dupree will have a resurgence of form.
I like it.
I'm not saying I don't like it, but
Benjamin's buttoning himself. He's got to start getting younger.
All right, storyline of the year.
Astralis. Just Astralis. They're a one-team soap opera.
Astralis goes from worst team in the world to winning the first major and then not making the second major.
They're going to be like, I don't know. That's the kind of thing. I don't know what Astralis is going to do, but it's going to be amusing regardless.
I think, first of all, I think a French team not making it to the French major will be like a minor storyline of the year.
Yeah.
which I think will just be funny, but that's its own bit. I think... There's a couple smaller storylines I have. So the rise of Na'Vi Academy, right? We looked at the academy system the last year, and it was the year of Mouse.
Yeah.
Every player that came out of Mouse Academy was just good, right? And we're seeing now with Munacy, and we're hopefully going to see with Hedtrick and Nipple that, like, maybe there's a rival there. I think that's its own storyline.
I've got a mini storyline as well. Man. IHC are going to be good, and it's going to be fun. IHC,
the Mongolian team. Yes.
They're going to be good, and it's going to be like is Asian CS good, and it's going to be just them doing well.
It's just IHC.
Yeah, so they won't even do that well. They'll just do it relatively well.
On that same track, I think another mini storyline could be the rise of Israeli Counter-Strike.
Yeah, they keep producing good players.
They keep producing like one or two good players a year, and one of these years is going to be like a bigger breakout year for them.
Yeah.
Shouts to Spray.
Yeah.
All right. So other answers. TSM are 100 Thieves 2.0 and disband their team in 12 days.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. I like that answer.
We have information about that somewhere.
Hold on.
Yeah,
from their Discord where they said they're waiting until the next player break, basically.
Yeah, Dominic said, due to open qualifiers being early and no way to qualify, there will be roster shows between Cologne, Cato and Cologne, where there will be opportunities to make their move. This is from TSM Dominic, who's the CEO. I don't know. I don't know what's happening at TSM anymore because Andy's not there, so I have no clue what's anymore. FaZe versus G2, I think I can see that. France not winning the French major, that's just not going to happen. So
yeah, like, they're not even qualifying is more likely.
Yeah. G2 slaying their grand finals demon.
Yeah, I kind of see that.
How will Shiro handle the op getting nerfed to one bullet?
That's a good answer.
That's a good.
I know it's just Shiro. He's not called out anyone else.
No. It's only Shiro's op that's getting nerfed.
Oh, interesting.
Cloud9's road to top tier stability.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of I was kind of ready for that storyline last year. I'm kind of bored of it already.
And Device gets back to a top five ranking while Astralis wins one tournament at best.
I think
that falls under your Astralis one there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Astralis will just be a one-team soap opera. They've already missed Katowice. It's already good.
All right, the dumbass move of the year, which dumbass is the move in which we award to whatever move is the stupidest move on paper and then also doesn't work.
I really couldn't think of one for this.
By the way, we're absolutely coming back at the end of the year and going through our predictions, and we're going to see how terrible we were.
The problem is I've already gone all in on G2 being good, so I can't then say they're going to minus Hooksie plus Hooksie, but I do kind of think they might minus Hooksie and plus Hooksie at some point.
I think Astralis handing the keys to Blame F.
Yeah. But I don't know if they'll do that.
I don't think... The problem is, Man. Dumbass moves are... The dumbass moves that I could think of in prior history are just so out there that I would not have even expected to
think that they
would
happen. Yeah, you
wouldn't
have made them up, would you? No, I kind of agree.
So, we'll come back to this
every
one
move
at the
that
end.
Doesn't make sense, I'm like, oh no, they wouldn't do that. But then, that's kind of a point, yeah. It would have to be, a lot of them would be for like some sort of odd reason though, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say, it's going to be Evil Geniuses. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be Evil Geniuses doing insane.
Hold on the Evil Geniuses. Our next question is very much about them. So the other answer, other people, whatever G2 does, Nip doing anything, Liquid adding Dickle, Astralis removing someone other than Blame F, Vitality minus Majisk, which I could definitely see as a dumbass move of the year.
Yeah, that's not a clever move, and I could see them doing it.
I think it could eat. Let's talk about Vitality for a second, because we talked about minus Dane before. I want to very quickly say this. If you're doing minus Dane, I think it should be minus Dupree, because I think at the same time it should be minus Apex and let Majisk IGL.
Yeah. I kind of agree.
I think if you minus Majisk, then you are committing to an Apex IGL, and we have stated our opinions on that a very large amount of times. Any roster change by Astralis that won't change the old core, and whoever signs MSL.
I love MSL. I can't say anything bad about him. I'm sorry. Even if I don't necessarily disagree, I can't say anything bad about him.
This is the important question. I'm actually going to track over this year. I'm going to use a graph and everything. Predict how many players Evil Geniuses will have in their Counter-Strike division by the end of 2023. Note that they currently have 4 teams of 5, 1 main team, 2 blueprint teams, and an impact team.
They actually don't. They have, well, their main team only has 4 players at the moment.
Yeah, because George...
But you know what they're going to do? They're going to sign Woxic. EG are going to sign Woxic. That's my take.
Have you not seen the stupid rumor that EG is going to sign Mantu to replace Cirque?
Mantu's good.
But does that fix anything?
Well, no, of course it doesn't fix it. You're putting some brand new nails at a shelf that's already collapsed. Like, that doesn't matter. But Mantu is good. And I hope he doesn't go to EG because he's actually good.
All right. Do you have a number for me?
I think 16, because their impact team is terrible. So I can see them dropping the impact team. Like, they actually just aren't very good. They haven't qualified, I think, for impact. They lost to Saints, I think, in the grand final.
Okay.
So they'll get rid of that. But they'll somehow still have this overflow of players they always seem to have. So they'll have 3 teams, but they'll just have like Rush will just still be there, not on a team somehow. Or like Shake Zeller will come back and play for a bit and then like semi-retire.
Yeah, that's the thing that we haven't. Assistant coach role. That's the thing we haven't talked about. Shake is now an assistant coach for this team.
Yeah.
The full list of like Evil Genius players and coaches and support staff is just like 30 people long.
Yeah. I'm going to go with 16 because they'll just somehow have an overflow player, but they'll get rid of the impact team when they fail to qualify again?
I'm going 23.
Wow, you're going up. They're
going
to have more.
I'm going up because I think that they're going to have inactive players on their roster that they want to cut, but for contract reasons can't cut and release to free agency, because I think that they're going to make a million moves this year, so they're just going to be left with players on their roster.
Yeah, I can see it. I can definitely see it.
I'm not going to... Actually, fucking, I am going to call people out for this.
I've got a good answer for dumbass move of the year.
Okay, I'm ready.
Complexity are going to swap JT for Stanislaw.
Oh,
and it's going to fail spectacularly.
God.
They're going to be like, oh, we need some experience. We need a guy who knows what he's doing at this level. And they're going to sign Stanislaw, and it's going to fail massively. And they're going to bring back JT and go back to being mediocre.
All right. Remember when I said before that I wasn't calling out people of our crew? I do want to track this and make this publicly available. So Horizon, 7 players. Fluffy, 22 players. Dickel, quote, probably drop one of the teams, honestly. Simba, 2 teams only. Andy, 29 on contract, 25 active. Naps, 1 main, 1 blueprint, 1 impact, and Krilla, enough for 3 teams max. I'm putting here 23 for me. And what did you say? 16?
I said 16 somehow. They'll figure it out. And some of those players will just be like
inactive.
Some of these players will just be like ridiculous. They'll just have ridiculous players there. Like Kenny S will be there or something at the end of the year. I don't know how. God. They'll bring AZ out of retirement. He'll be on there somehow.
Honestly,
apparently he was playing the other day. He played against the new Godsend team.
Would it really be that much of a downturn?
MSL is going to sign for EG, isn't it?
God. Oh, God.
And
okay,
rate Neyland too highly, I think.
All right. Team with the most roster moves over the next year.
Evil Geniuses is a really easy
Evil
answer.
Evil Geniuses is my
answer. They do have 4 teams.
Let's say tier 1 roster moves. Let's discount the fact that they
Be quite generous with the term tier 1.
For EG, let's count just their main team. It does include movements between teams for EG. So,
either OG or Fnatic.
Either OG or Fnatic. I could see Fnatic being there.
Yeah.
I could see a rotating door on the Na'Vi 5th slot.
Yeah, that's true.
I could also see that on the NIP slot, one of those.
I just feel like OG are going to be a little bit disappointed in what they've done. They've obviously gone for this, like, invest in youth. And so they're going to keep trying youth players. They're going to keep signing these young players and hope and wait till it clicks. And then when it clicks, they might be all right. Fnatic have quite an expensive roster that is good, but there's issues. I think they'll end up swapping Nikodars, they'll end up swapping Roy out, they'll probably try Mezzi in about 5 different roles. Eventually Crims is going to leave. That might be a move that people are going to be up in arms about, actually, that
Crims
will be
leaving.
The right answer is getting rid of Crims.
I just realized that all Fnatic teams are just the exact same team but playing different games.
Yeah.
Other answers here were Astralis, which I definitely could see. Actually, I probably can't see Astralis only because Astralis doesn't like to do that.
Yeah,
kind
all
of
their
like,
players are on big contracts now.
They're on big contracts. They don't like to move them. They like to wait 7,000 years past when they should move and then do it.
Yep.
EG on the list. Apex is on the list. I'm not going to really count Apex. Na'Vi, NIP, Outsiders / VP, which is not a bad shout, the Outsiders one.
I don't know if Outsiders will make that many changes.
All right, we had 2 more questions. We got to do them quick. Biggest Valve change to Counter-Strike, if they do any?
Unfortunately, it will just be a map change, and they're going to get rid of...
It could be Nuke.
I think they might get rid of Overpass.
Love Overpass.
I do as well. I think that might be the change. There's like a growing sentiment against Overpass. And I think Overpass might be the map that leaves. And in its stead, they will put Oh, I don't think it'll be Tuscan. I feel like if it was going to be Tuscan, they'd have done it already. So I think it might be a brand new map that we've not yet seen.
Okay. Mine is they're going to redo how weapons get bought in such a way that you can choose to buy an A4 and an A1 during the same game and choose to buy the R8 and the Deagle during the same game.
I like basically, that. I like that.
They're going to allow you to buy... You don't have to choose between the MP5 and MP7. They're going to allow you to just choose all of those.
I buy the MP5 like once a week just when I really feel like I need a treat. I've had a tough day and I'm going to buy the MP5. I'm going to die because I've bought it, but it's going to feel nice.
I want to say twice a week, I buy the MP5 and I have the FBI skin and I have a bind on my keyboard that says FBI open up in all caps.
Nice.
And I will just rush somewhere on CT. Like, I'll rush apps on Inferno and get like 2 or 3 kills and then spam
FBI
that keyboard.
Open up. Nice.
Cruise recommendations. They remove Mirage. It won't happen, but...
I don't know. It could, but I hope it doesn't. I really hate how much people pretend they dislike Mirage. Learn to aim.
I hate Mirage to play because I'm just bored of it, but to watch, it's really good to watch.
And I mean, still enjoy playing it.
I just play so much Mirage, so I'm just tired of it. They're going to change
so much Counter-Strike, and I'm not bored of that.
They're going to change one of the maps, maybe, probably, hopefully. Vouch.
Yeah. True.
Big changes to the matchmaking system.
Yeah, I could see that.
They
talked about integrating Face It into the game before, so I could see.
They also showed at least a little bit with the what was it, Broken Fang queue or whatever it is, the map ban queue that there's at least a little bit of one. I don't think many people play it, but I also just don't think many people play matchmaking right now. So
yeah,
if you're a casual player, you're just queuing Dust 2 Mirage in matchmaking, and if you're not a casual player, you're playing Face It. So there's kind of a weird thing. M4A4 buff, cobble, and or cash added to the map pool, but not pro play.
So A4 buff.
A4 buff.
Brave. I mean, I'm not against it, but I'm actually as good with a Deagle on CT side as I am with an A4. It's quite impressive, but also embarrassing.
Resident conspiracy theorist Naps put Source 2...
I don't know. I'm not even convinced Source 2 will do anything.
Yeah. And then someone else said basically my thing, which is basically being able to buy both the A4 and the A1S in the buy menu at the same...
Yeah.
Oh, but at the same price of $2,900.
At the same time, you can dual wield them.
God.
If you're rich on CT side, you can just dual wield M4s. You kill twice as fast.
The last bit of this, the boldest prediction that I did not include here, as in like a question I didn't include. So... I'm going to run through these quickly. You think while, or unless you have one.
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, I'm going to run through these quickly. Anubis will be played in a grand final of the first major.
Yep, love that answer.
EG will drop their entire CS roster and TSM will pick up the scraps.
Ooh.
G2 will finish with 4 players in the top 18. Navi go tits up. Option 1, which is because I didn't put a short answer on the form early enough, and Suhi will become the next sought after IGL.
Mine will be Sprout at some point during the year will be a top 5 team.
Sprout at some point during the year will be a top 5 team.
Maybe that's not bold enough. They will finish... How about Sprout will finish top 8 at both majors this year? That's really bold, I think.
I could see that.
I really like the look of this Sprout team. There's so much firepower on it.
I'm trying to think of like what my super bold prediction could be. I think my bold prediction could be we may have I'm going to say small, but I mean like 2 teams. Renaissance of North American Counter-Strike on the international stage. I think Complexity might get their shit together. I think EG may get their shit together. I think we'll see some other team that's going to be made of like part of like EG Blueprint players and some up and comers and stuff. I think we'll see like it won't just be the Liquid show.
I think Brazil is more likely. I think Brazil.
Yeah, but that's not a bold prediction.
I think Brazil having two teams, well, it kind of is, because they haven't had a team other than Furia get like, do well at an event in a long time. But I can see Payne actually being good. Biguzera, Skull, Zevi is such a nice core. And then you've still got like MIBR who are decent. But like, I don't know, man. Like, Complexity just don't look like they're ever going to have their shit together, unfortunately.
I don't know. That's my bold prediction. That's why it's bold, because it's probably going to be wrong. But you
and
know,
and Brazil needs to team up.
We tried that once. There was a cool sticker in Counter-Strike dedicated to us trying that.
Yeah, no, of course. But they need to do it more. Like, there's enough talent in Brazil, but it's a bit dotted around.
When Furia does minus safe, Liquid plus safe.
Yeah, he speaks good English.
There we go.
He speaks really good English. He lived in North America. I think he went to uni in North America, or college, as you call it. So I'm pretty sure his English is really good. I'd be really down for that move. To Liquid sounds like a really nice move.
Safe to Liquid, market here on the bench. That's going to be it for us this week. We'll see you again next week when we talk about Blast Premier. You can find us on Twitter at Logan Ramhub, at AZSK, and at ReadTLDR. For those of you listening on Twitter Spaces, thank you for listening. I'm so sorry to the three people that just joined right now as I'm doing the outro. But I have to get back to work, and you have to get back to sleeping or something.
I've got to go to the gym in an hour.
Boring. Either way, we'll see you all next week when we talk about Blast Premier. Something. I have no clue what the fuck this thing's called.
Yeah, blast, 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 as it's better known.